lights out on the hour. It is the hour of the time. Lights out for the curfew of your body, soul, and
good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now this evening, Thursday, the 13th of May, 2010, with another exciting broadcast here. And you're going to want to take notes, ladies and gentlemen, because we have a lot of information in store for you this evening. We're going to cover, in this short series of broadcast, Obama's use of hidden hypnosis techniques in his speeches. I think you'll be quite intrigued by the evidence, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time or HOTT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. And the studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to write me to ask serious questions, comments, share research, or send hate mail, you can write me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. And through your support is how we maintain our presence in the streaming audio, on the website, in speaking engagements, conferences held. And you can do that by going to the website, hourofthetime.com, and then go to the Hot Shop. And in there in the Hot Shop, you'll find numerous MP3 files on an individual basis, hundreds of them, in fact, hundreds of different items in the forms of packaged MP3s on topical interest, PDFs, DVD presentations. So go take a look, ladies and gentlemen. And most importantly, we need 50 Hot Club members this month, now, right now, to do a major expansion onto some very strong, major market-holding shortwave broadcasting stations and frequencies during prime time listening. And we need your support to do that. Those of you out there who listen, engage in the chat room, engage in the comments on the website, and aren't members of the Hot Club, shame on you. You're using the services provided out there. You need to get on board. You can go to the website again, hourofthetime.com, go to the Hot Shop, and see all the details. But what it involves is we ask for a minimum monthly donation of $40. You can either mail that in to the address or use the shopping cart at your choice. And then in return at the end of each month, we send you a CD of all the MP3s of the Hour of the Time for that month broadcast. So you'll get a minimum of 21 of them. Well, I shouldn't say minimum. The average monthly broadcast nights, if you average out a year, are 21 new broadcasts a month. If there's a Bill rerun in lieu of me, then that one will be included on the disc. And on the second disc, you get all the PDF offers and documents that were offered throughout the month as well. So you get two CDs every month, all the audio files, the second, the documentation from the broadcast. So it's a great deal. You're getting all that in return. You don't have to order them at the end of the month for your $40 donation to the Hot Club. We need 50 members now. So keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. It has to happen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, after this musical break, be prepared to take notes. You're going to want to get a lot of these details down because it's information you're not likely to hear elsewhere. And Rob found this wonderful document, and we have to thank also Dr. Milton Erickson, because so much of his documentation is used throughout this piece on the techniques of conversational hypnosis. Ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, the website, hourofthetime.com, and the studio numbers in Arizona, 928-333-2942, and in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now, in these broadcasts, ladies and gentlemen, we have the evidence and analysis proving Obama's use of a little-known and highly deceptive and manipulative form of hack hypnosis on millions of unaware Americans, and reveal what only a few psychologists and hypnosis or neuro-linguistic programming experts know. You see, Obama's speeches contain the hypnosis techniques of Dr. Milton Erickson, who developed a form of conversational hypnosis that could be hidden in seemingly normal speech and used on patients without their knowledge for therapy purposes. Obama's speeches intentionally contain the following: trance inductions, hypnotic anchoring, pacing and leading, pacing, distraction and utilization, critical factor bypass, stacking language patterns, pre-programmed response adaptation, linking statements, casualty bridges, secondary hidden meanings, embedded suggestions, emotion transfer, non-dominant hemisphere programming. Obama's techniques, you see, are the height of deception and psychological manipulation, remaining hidden because one must understand the science behind the language pattern in order to spot them. By examining Obama's speeches word by word, hand gesture by hand gesture, tone, pauses, body language, proves his use of covert hypnosis intended only for licensed therapists on consenting patients. Obama's mesmerized, cult-like, grade school crush-like worship by millions is not because Obama is the greatest leader of a generation who simply hasn't accomplished anything, who magically inspires by giving speeches. Obama is committing perhaps the biggest fraud and deception in American history. You see, Obama is not just using subliminal messages, but textbook covert hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, techniques on audiences that are intentionally designed to sideline rational judgment and implement or implant subconscious commands to think he is so wonderful and get him elected. Obama is eloquent. However, Obama's subconscious techniques are shown to elicit powerful emotion from his audience and then transfer that emotion onto him to sideline rational judgment and implant hypnotic commands that we are unaware of and can't even consciously question. The polls prior to the election were misleading because some of Obama's commands were designed to be triggered only in the voting booth on November 4th. Obama's immune to logical arguments like right, airs, shifting every position, character, and inexperience because hypnosis affects people on an unconscious and emotional level. To many people who see this unaccomplished man's unnatural and irrational rise to the highest office in the world are suspicious. and frightened, and to those who welcome it, these broadcasts uncover, explain, and prove the deceptive tactics behind true Obama phenomenon, including why younger people are more easily affected. I think, ladies and gentlemen, most of you, well, some of you I know for a fact, because you've admitted it, which took some guts to do that, but you've admitted that some of you out there in the listening audience actually voted for him and quickly realized the error of your ways. But most of you listening didn't. But think about maybe your personal reactions and the reactions of those around you. The almost cult-like, mesmerized following he gathered. Now, of course, skeptics are going to doubt any of this information provided in these broadcasts, and generally with four specific oppositions, each of which will disprove. The most typical oppositions are, one, hypnosis isn't real, hypnosis doesn't work on me. Well, actually, trance states of mind and enhanced suggestibility happen to everyone every day. Driving in your car, in the elevator, watching TV, or listening to music. This mild hypnotic state is all that is needed for Ericksonian techniques to implant hypnotic commands you are unaware of. Another argument will be Obama isn't intentionally using mass hypnosis. Well, these broadcasts contain over 100 examples of Obama's specific language patterns and hypnosis techniques that follow textbook Ericksonian principles and characteristics too often to be coincidence. Another argument, of course, will be Obama's popularity is not attributed to his use of hypnosis. Well, young people and more educated people actually have lower hypnotic subconscious suggestibility thresholds for scientific reasons explained. Popular perceptions of Obama are provable as inconsistent with his accomplishments, history, background, and even what is heard from him consciously. However, they match perfectly with the message he is caught sending, intending to be received only subconsciously. People are admittedly mesmerized by him. The irrational rise to power of an uncanny, passionate support for a logically unaccomplished and questionable man based on his speaking alone, like the so-called Obama phenomena, is widely accepted. Only the rational explanation for it is missing. Finally, he wouldn't use these deceptive techniques if he did not believe they work. Then another argument, ladies and gentlemen, which you're bound to hear. There is nothing unethical about Obama's use of hypnosis. Well, actually, wrong. The techniques used by Obama are the most deceptive forms of communication known to man. They sideline rational judgment and implant subconscious commands that change how people feel and behave without any awareness of the manipulation. Obama's techniques overcome the will without convincing the judgment through trickery. Obama often says one message that you may be aware of, meanwhile implanting a different message with double or hidden meanings. He conjures up emotions by talking about your children, JFK, and then is caught transferring those feelings onto him with hand gestures. He hides what he is doing and brazenly uses these techniques in front of millions of people over and over again. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Obama's actions can be shown to be the height of manipulation and deception. Go back in history, ladies and gentlemen. What was Hitler, for instance, one of his most influential or powerful tools he possessed to influence an entire society and country into war? It was his speech-making techniques. And mind you, ladies and gentlemen, he was trained by the secret societies and mystery schools. 7 years, in fact, of speech-making training were given to him by the Thule Society. Just a little historical reference there for you. The level of deception involved in Obama's use of covert hypnosis and his presumption that he has the right to use hypnosis on us to gain votes is unconscionable. It is not a connection to another person that he can deny. It is Obama's own highly deceptive actions, provable once explained, on video, playable over and over again for you to see. Obama's sidelining rational judgment using undue influence to win over voters, applying psychological subconscious manipulation like never before in American history. No other argument against Obama can fundamentally change the way those who voted for him especially feel about him deep down inside, except, and that's a big except, proof that precisely the way they feel about him deep down inside is because of Obama's own deception and use of hidden hypnosis. This is because exposing Obama's use of hypnosis takes the people who are entranced by him subconsciously and emotionally and puts the issue of why they feel that way on a conscious, rational level where they can analyze it. It is the one thing that can fundamentally change the game and shatter Obama's magical immunity to all his other faults, logical disqualifications, and deceptions. This can include the media changing their mind about Obama once they see who he really is, and also helping to expose what Obama is doing. Many people do wake up from the effects of hypnosis once you tell them they have been hypnotized and explain what has happened to them. To a lot of people, it's just a missing piece of the puzzle that makes everything else make sense, almost as if it was the missing piece they were somehow even looking for on some level. The basics of Ericksonian hypnosis must be understood, ladies and gentlemen, to see what Obama is doing. Now, when we speak first, though, of breaking away from that for a person out there, maybe it's a coworker of yours, person down the street, a church member, somebody you're around all the time. I want to reference the work here. The only thing you need to do to break a negative hypnotic spell that has been cast on you is to begin thinking rationally, to begin to think critically. And if you decide that you choose this message as one that's good for you, by all means, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. But if you decide that this is not something you want to have in your life, just simply analyze it, criticize it, ridicule it, and say, hey, that's not how the world works. And you'll have protected your mind from taking on board something which you really don't need. That's from the power of Conversational Hypnosis by Clifford Mee and Igor Lidachowski in the section entitled The Dark Side of Hypnosis. Now, concerning the Ericksonian hypnosis techniques, these techniques are nearly impossible for an untrained person to detect. With the exception of a few trained experts in hypnosis, nobody understands even what to look for. It sounds in every way like ordinary, powerful speech. Hypnosis is not sleep, nor what it is portrayed in movies. In order to spot what Obama is doing, one must first understand covert hypnosis and conversational hypnosis and know how the science works. And only by knowing how hypnosis works will you see that Obama's speech often diverges from normal and logical speech patterns and clearly uses the non-logical, clearly artificial, and intentional patterns of hypnotic trance induction and hypnotic critical factor bypass as taught in the field of covert and conversational hypnosis. This document will explain what Obama is precisely doing and how it works by explaining hidden hypnotic language patterns and other hypnosis techniques and pointing out the patterns and techniques in his speeches. And ladies and gentlemen, as an aside, I saw this with my own eyes. Myself and my father attended a speaking engagement back in the 90s in Sacramento, California. I took them with me kind of as a Father's Day present, and we went around and saw some relatives and did some travels and fishing on the way back. And we saw with our own eyes the use of covert hypnosis at the speaking engagement. Done intentionally. Everybody was told it was going to happen. Done on a youth. How easy it was to pull out memories that his own parents didn't know about who were sitting right there. In this case, it was an injury that he had incurred. And actually, the father did know. The mom didn't. Because the father was there when he incurred the injury. And he did it doing something that maybe the father shouldn't have been letting happen. So they had not told mom. And this all came out, and I saw it with my own eyes. Also saw a powerful injury done to the hand of the youth. And the bleeding was made to stop. And the pain was made to go away using this conversational and covert hypnosis. It's used widely, ladies and gentlemen, in the special operations fields of the military around the world. Of course, we concentrate on the U.S. generally, but it's being used around the world by special operations as well. And Obama is using textbook clinical trance inductions in his speeches. The hypnotic techniques work on a subconscious level and are designed so that people watching him in an audience or on TV are completely unaware of his techniques and their efforts. He is using clear hypnotic anchoring, pacing and leading, and numerous other techniques designed to take away rational judgment in deciding who those at least that are looked to be voters for him, to take away all that rational judgment. To say Obama's amazing following and rise to power simply because he is a great speaker is not logically sufficient. Even if Obama were the greatest speaker to come along in 30 years, it still would not explain why even being simply a great speaker would cause people to say he's the greatest leader of a generation, or sent by God, or JFK, and why that he should be trusted to make decisions like he has never made in his life. or that he will bring change when he hasn't really changed anything in his 46 years. What he has done does not logically fit how he is perceived. In fact, the gulf is too wide to be random, unexplained phenomenon. He does, however, use clever hypnosis techniques while discussing, for example, JFK, to subconsciously transfer feelings conjured up in his audience onto him. Flashed hand gestures which appear innocent to the uncritical observation. Now, real hypnosis, most people are hypnotized and fall into trance every day in their lives. It is common everyday occurrence, whether for a brief second or minutes or longer. A very basic example is when you're driving a car while in deep thought, and you suddenly realize you are much farther along with no memory of driving the whole distance. Have you ever been on the elevator watching the numbers change and go into a trance? And when everybody gets off, you take that as a nonverbal suggestion to get off. Before you wake up and realize it's not your floor. The elevator example is used as an example of mass hypnosis where the close rapport with the hypnotist is not necessary because many people are both hypnotized partly by whatever is causing the trance and partly by the fact that you're being paced. We're also hypnotized by everyone else in the elevator doing the exact same thing as you. The reason you cry from reading sad books simply by reading ink on paper is because of the mind's interaction with that information. That, too, has been deemed a hypnotic process, ladies and gentlemen. That can be found in The Power of Conversational Hypnosis, again by Clifford Mee and Igor Lidachowski. There are two definitions of hypnosis, if you will. First, hypnosis is a particular altered state of hypersuggestibility brought about in an individual by a combination of relaxation, fixation of attention, and suggestion. That can be found in Modern Hypnosis Theory and Practice by Masud Ansari, Ph.D. Secondly, hypnosis is also bypassing the critical factor in setting up acceptable selective thinking. That can be found in Killer Influence Secrets of Covert Hypnosis. Now, the critical factor, as it's called, is the conscious part of the brain that you think with that has the ability to make rational, logical judgments about what information is received. The critical factor acts as a filter, determining what can pass into the subconscious mind, which is a non-rational computer-like system which accepts everything in it as absolute truth. That is why sidelining is so dangerous. Now, Dr. Erickson, Milton Erickson, had a broader definition of the unconscious mind, described as both the functioning of the dominant hemisphere of the brain that occurs below the level of awareness, as well as the functioning of the non-dominant hemisphere. That can be found in Patterns of the Hypnotic Technique of Milton H. Erickson, M.D., Volume 1. Ericksonian trance induction has three dimensions, which we will return to often, and compare to Obama's language patterns. Again, found in the same book, Patterns of the Hypnotic Techniques of Milton H. Erickson, M.D. And these three dimensions, if you will, are 1, pacing and distraction of the dominant language, that is, hemisphere. 2, utilization of the dominant hemisphere. Language processing, which occurs below the level of awareness. And then 3, accessing of the non-dominant hemisphere. This three-part process is extremely important to this analysis. Essentially, hypnosis is an altered and common state of mind involving intense focus, sidelining or disassociation of the rational critical thinking, and the state of hypersuggestibility brought about by the subconscious mind as the dominant player. That can be found in The Religion of Psychology by Marty Wilson. And ladies and gentlemen, this happens while reading, listening to music, or while even hearing a so-called great speaker. However, the power of such methods is what is difficult to grasp. What we are talking about is transformational linguistics. Language that literally changes who you are at your deepest levels, your deepest passions, drives, and emotions, while you are completely unaware. Freud would have called it that there is a conscious mind that you think with called the ego. You also have a conscious called the superego. Then there is the largest part of the psyche, the id, which is the back end of all of our memory. The most basic instincts and drives, emotions, and suppressed desires. That can be found in Modern Hypnosis Theory and Practice, again, Masud Ansari, PhD, Unconscious Mind in Hypnosis. You see, the unconscious mind is the source of our energy, and no amount of conscious reasoning can override it. The unconscious mind is uncritical. It accepts as absolute truth any idea that is allowed to enter its computer-like system. The messages of hypnosis, including mass hypnosis, can be far more powerful than just someone's conscious thoughts, as it affects the most basic biological drives and instincts. That can be found in the International Law of Propaganda, ladies and gentlemen. And I can't even pronounce the name, but the last name is Murty, M-U-R-T-Y. The first two are long, long, long Indian names. And here in this International Law of Propaganda work by Murty, M-U-R-T-Y, he was discussing conditioned reflexes and how mass hypnosis could be used. I would suggest you go get that work, ladies and gentlemen. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why many of Obama's followers are so passionate for him. Why they are fainting in his presence, comparing him to Jesus, and supporting him like no other candidate before. Now let's look at some of the... Actually, I need something to drink because my throat is wearing on me. After this musical break, we're going to go into some of the origins of black ops hypnosis or covert hypnosis.
Thank you.
right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to your host here, Doyle Shamley, with the Hour of the Time. Tonight, the 13th of May, 2010, Thursday. Be sure to remember, ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. Without your support, we cannot maintain our speaking engagements, website presence, and expansion. Like currently, we need, right now, 50 more Hot Club members. So go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop for details on the Hot Club itself. And how, and to see also all of the numerous items available for your donation. Now, a little bit of background in this called Black Ops or Covert Hypnosis and into Dr. Milton H. Erickson. He's often been looked at as the father of modern day hypnosis understanding. He was the founding president of the American Society for Clinical Hypnosis and a fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, and the American Psychopathological Association. One of his books, if you want to learn a lot more about these techniques that you should reference, is Patterns of the Hypnotic Techniques of Milton H. Erickson, Volume 1. See, Dr. Erickson discovered while working as a therapist that he could hide therapeutic hypnosis within the normal content of an inconspicuous conversation with the patient and avoid much of the patient's conscious resistance that normally accompanied hypnotherapy. Dr. Erickson realized the subconscious mind was always listening and understood better than anyone before how to access it and implant suggestions into it. What Dr. Erickson did was figure out how to put people into trance and hypnotize them and implant suggestions with seemingly normal conversation. He discovered that people could achieve this heightened state of hypersuggestibility without the traditional difficultly induced coma-like trance state traditionally associated with hypnosis. And through his pioneering understanding, he was able to do the same and much more often with simple plays on words and embedded meanings in a single sentence. And the entire field, in fact, of covert hypnosis or black ops hypnosis is based on Dr. Erickson's techniques and is now primarily used by hypnotists and psychiatrists. Conversational hypnosis is often referred to as Ericksonian hypnosis as well. The word hypnosis is never mentioned, you see, and there is nothing overt to give away that hypnosis is being used. And it is impossible to detect unless you know precisely what to look for. And there's even hack versions out there of these techniques that are unfortunately being taught to be used as persuasion tools for salesperson, men looking to entice women, how to gain the upper hand in business affairs. And the reason this is so unfortunate is because covert hypnosis is designed to simply sideline all rational judgment that is fundamental to how it works, to bypass the dominant hemisphere and the critical factor. It essentially tricks the subconscious mind into accepting commands as absolute truths, which include not only those approved by the conscious mind, but outside commands from a hypnotist who can implant any suggestion he wishes. Dr. Erickson was adamant that only doctors be allowed to practice these techniques because of how strongly he felt about the dangers of such of this science and how it could be done and used in wrong hands. Subconscious suggestions are more powerful than even what the subject believes consciously. As such suggestions become part of their deepest psyche or psyche. And because covert hypnosis is hidden in ordinary speech, and the subject is not aware that it is being used, it is even more powerful than ordinary techniques of hypnosis. Since the conscious mind is not even aware of the messages being sent, conscious scrutiny and resistance is eliminated. The subject cannot even question the message being sent. They are simply implanted by the hypnotist or the operator as the subject's most fundamental beliefs. Then even the subject's own rational mind cannot overpower them. So, how does one go about bypassing the dominant hemisphere's rational judgment, called the critical factor? The critical factor is the part of the mind that logically analyzes and scrutinizes all information like a filter and decides what information is allowed to pass into your subconscious mind and become part of what your mind accepts as unquestionably true. Like your deepest and most powerful emotions, drives, and instincts. It is the primary cognitive defense that usually stops all information and rationally analyzes it, whether consciously or unconsciously. It keeps your computer-like subconscious mind from literally believing that you are a chicken when someone calls you a chicken, and keeps you from literally believing that you are a square or a box when somebody calls you a square, and keeps you from literally believing that you are a snow or cereal flake when someone calls you a flake. Those are all just examples. You don't consciously ponder it when someone calls you a chicken. Your critical factor stops that information below the level of awareness. The critical factor is the cognitive function best analogized to a security guard who searches every person. So let's look at this. The security guard, the critical factor, who searches every person, information, entering into a nightclub looking for weapons, and stops all information that is questionable. The critical factor stops all information and allows your thinking and rationality to determine whether it is acceptable or not. Now, hypnosis will use language patterns, visual tricks, body language, voice, tone, and other aspects of communication to get suggestions past the critical factor part of the brain and directly into the subconscious. This is wonderful if the command is to be free of a phobia, or to quit smoking, or to not have a fear of heights. But elsewhere, it's not. And the reason hypnosis is used for such psychological change is that the critical factor allows is only what it accepts as true. So, for example, without bypassing the smoker's critical factor, a smoker has a difficult time quitting. Because they have a difficult time accepting as absolutely true the information that they are a non-smoker. And that's because their critical factor and conscious mind knows differently and doesn't allow that information through. And the simplest way and often used in clinical studies and examples and books, like some of the ones we've referenced already, is the chicken example. Calling someone a chicken will not literally cause them to believe they are a chicken and act like one. That's because it's the critical factor stops the information from passing into the subconscious. So, how does a hypnotist, for example, get a subject to cluck like a chicken and behave like they are one? Because the hypnotist knows how to get the suggestion that the subject is a chicken past the critical factor and get the subconscious mind to accept it as unquestionably true. Now, looking at what Obama is actually doing, Obama's actions are far more deceptive than simply lying. If used by a politician and discovered, such hypnotic techniques, that is, if understood as it should be, to be the height of manipulation and deception, would destroy a politician's career. There is no other way to view such a politician other than disturbingly and disqualifyingly deceptive, someone whom we apparently know very little about and cannot trust, who has been continually hiding something from us and manipulating us. To see a politician continue to perform a multitude of hundreds of deceptive acts, which he knows about, but we are meant not to know about, that affect our judgment and mental process, and that manipulate us in ways we are not even aware of, all the while thinking is clever enough to get away with it until he finally gets caught, is the height of immoral deception. It is perhaps the biggest fraud and deception in American history. You see, most of our beliefs come to us from our own rational judgment and conscious analysis of the world. For example, we know it's good to wake up in the morning and do something because we rationally know the consequences of staying in bed all day. When we like people, it is usually due to a combination of our rational judgment and how that person naturally makes us feel about them. Maybe a person tries to make people like them more by following social norms, making people feel good, smiling, and so on. However, a very small percentage of the population actually study subconscious manipulation of not only how people feel about them, but how to manipulate and alter the beliefs we usually come to by rational judgment, reason, and experience. These people that study this study specifically how to sideline this rational judgment, reason, and experience and bend people's feelings and will through the application of this branch of psychiatry to their interactions. And Obama is an expert at this type of artificial manipulation. His ability to convince rationally and any natural charm is only part of how a person feels about Obama. The rest is deceptive subconscious manipulation. His tactics are deceptive because he has mastered the science and art of lowering the effect of rational scrutiny through his speaking, actions, and presentation. He gets you to believe, not by conventionally rationally until you decide to believe it, but by knowing how to say to your subconscious mind literally the words that you believe, in a way that your subconscious mind will simply accept the message and believe without having rationally decided so. He knows how to say to your subconscious mind that it chose Obama even when it hasn't, in a way that you will believe that you have chosen. He understands subconscious manipulation enough to know how to talk about families, your children, John F. Kennedy, and conjure up feelings within you from speaking in certain rhythmic and unnaturally slow tempos, and then subconsciously transfer the emotions he conjures up onto him, such as with hand gestures or hidden content in language. Many people genuinely walk away from him feeling warm and viewing him as a JFK, except it is artificial. He knows how to say one thing, but have your subconscious mind ultra-powerfully receive a different message and feeling than you are aware of. He is actually implanting feelings and emotions into your subconscious. They even feel like your own. Rationally, he is an unaccomplished man with shady connections. But many are tricked into feelings about him that overpower those that feel like your genuine feelings about him, because they come from inside you, implanted into that deepest part of your psyche. You see, Obama's deception here is not simply a few subliminal messages like those used in some advertisements. Obama is employing with art and skill a complex hidden system, applying a multitude of the most advanced techniques in subconscious manipulation known to psychology. The entire system is designed to do one thing, to make us feel like the decision to support Obama is our own when it is really, at least for many, implanted artificially through hypnosis. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that will be the end of tonight's broadcast. And we're going to get into many of the examples tomorrow evening of when he's done this and point out the specifics. And go back now and think about history and the influence speakers have had and their almost hypnotic effect, if you will, upon their audience. Because, say, its origins, for Hitler at least, stem back to the secret societies and mystery schools and the training they gave to him. I want to thank all of you this evening, the 13th of May, 2010, for tuning in to this broadcast, Obama's Hypnosis Techniques. And be sure to go to the website, hourofthetime.com. And I hope everyone has a safe and a studious evening.
Can you grow from